Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome in, friends, to the Jazz Mill Broadcast, a celebration of all things jazz, featuring the great music of and interviews with some of the hottest singers and players on the planet. As always, your calls and feedback are welcome. Now, your host, Scott Henderson.
Well, we are all on Twitter here, folks, as we get ready to visit with our friend Nina Freelon, and wanted to start us off with some of her wonderful music. So let me give you a taste for that right off the hop.
Hey there, Daddy, make up your mind. I've been waiting such a long, long time. Go, can't leave me on the shelf. You gotta commit yourself. It's either you will, pretty baby, you won't fall in love with me. Call you last night on the telephone. I give you up to 12, baby, I'll be gone.
Henderson, no, not the fusion guitarist Scott Henderson, more like the mowing the lawn right after the show Scott Henderson. Well, that wonderful music you just heard is from our very special guest Nina Freelon. You'll hear more of her music and about her good works in the Jazz Mill Cafe segment here in just a tick. But first, let's punch up our Jazz Mill team. Co-host and segment producer Greg Rockingham has been going to beat the band since he was only 5 years old. He's worked with everyone from Glenn Miller to Steely Dan. Presently, he plays with Soul Message Band. They are the hottest B3 combo east of the Mississippi, in my humble opinion, and can be heard weekly at Chicago's historic Green Mill. Welcome in, Greg, or can I just call you G-Rock?
Oh, I wish you didn't, but hello. How you doing? Good to be here.
I am well. Understood. I get that all the time. Thank you for being on board, Greg. You're too much. And, of course, Sandra Booker, our esteemed show producer and special segment co-host. She is an international vocalist, composer, author, and advocate for numerous causes, including women in jazz. Sandra's musical accolades include work with Lalo Schifrin and the WDR Big Band. Hell, she was even an answer on Jeopardy when Trebek respectfully called her a sultry chanteuse, and I concur. Welcome in, Sandra. How are you, buddy?
Hey, it's great to be here on the Jazz Mill.
Well, as I said a second ago, we are all on Twitter on account of this wonderful guest that we have joining us today. You may know the name, Nina Freelon, from any of her 13 past best-selling records, collaborations with Ray Charles, Al Jarreau, George Benson, Ellis Marsalis, Earl Klugh, just to name a few. She has been honored at the White House because of her commitment to education and has served on the as a national spokesperson for Partners in Education for the past 4 years. Nina received her sixth Grammy nomination this past April and anchored an all-star ensemble to open the show. Did you see that? It was wonderful. And on top of that, she and her son Pierce made history, which I'll let her explain. Welcome in, Nina. How are you?
Thank you. I'm happy to be here in the Jazz Mill, and I appreciate the hang time with y'all.
Well, back at you. It's a great honor to speak with you. I have a lot of your music. I'll tell you that for free. I want to encourage people to buy it up as able. I believe you and Sandra know each other, right?
We go way, 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 way back. So, yeah.
Don't count the years. Oh, my God. Yeah, she tells me the same, and we hope you guys won't mind letting us inside the huddle a little bit so we can talk about that wonderful history. We love stories here, and obviously we want to play your music today. We want to hear about your good works and help you in any way that we can. You know, we share a love for North Carolina. As a kid, I used to spend my summers northwest of Asheville and right alongside the mighty French Broad River. That's the real name of the river, folks. You'll back me up on that, right, Nina?
Absolutely. You know, it's not a French Broad. It's the French Broad.
The French Broad. That's right. And that makes all the difference, doesn't it? too funny. My wife's from Raleigh, too. That's not where I met her, but she grew up, spent her formative years, I think she would say, in Raleigh, right up the road from me, as I understand it. But well, hey, the story is yours to tell of Grammy night. And I wonder if you could take us through, you know, what it meant to share that experience with your son Pierce, making history in the process.
It was an awesome honor and experience. You know, we don't get into this music for Grammys or for nods or for any of that. But when these moments come, they are certainly sweet, sweet, sweet. And to be nominated for my recording Time Traveler as Best Jazz Vocal, and for my son to be nominated for his children's music record, Black to the Future, two separate categories, both of us nominated in the same year, and to have also made history for the Grammys is, I mean, you just can't make this stuff up. It's a real blessing, and so I'm grateful. We're still all a flutter about that moment, and because we have because we've made history, it's going to be something that I believe is going to be in the books forever.
I think so. I think it's official. And maybe one of the great nights of your lives, if you think about it. So exciting as I did my homework on you to see that, and what a great accomplishment it is for both of you. Sandra, you're there. Hop right on in here as you please. But that opening number at the Grammys was just a lot of horsepower on that stage. And So enjoyed that. But we want to take a look at your whole body of work, not just the most recent stuff. I know you're involved in some really cool things with the Time Traveler record and project, and we're going to play some music from that. But I will invite Sandra to come in and say hello.
Nina, I'm so thrilled to have you here on the Jazz Mill. We met many, many years ago. For those people that may not know this, and I absolutely fell in love with you at a performance you gave here in Los Angeles at the old Catalina Bar and Grill. You just signed with Sony Records. The debut record completely, it was mind-altering for me. And I think it's because you have such a unique approach to how you sing, to how you perform, and you really get into the heart of a song, and the interpretation that you bring to bear, I have always found absolutely mesmerizing. So you're such a wonderful artist. The instrument speaks for itself, but it's the ideas behind what you convey in your music. And this Time Traveler recording, it just absolutely floored me.
Thank you, beloved. Thank you so much. You know, we're in kind of tightly knit sisterhood, this group of women and men also who call themselves improvisational jazz singers. It's a small group, but a loving group. So Time Traveler is a sonic love letter to my husband who passed away in 2019, and really a container for my grief also. A space to put all that love and angst and just all of it went into that project. And so I'm so happy to hear you say that it resonated with you, because where I thought this might have been a private moment, an individual moment, a personal moment, I'm realizing also that it's a universal one.
It is universal, and it is the humanity in the work that really attracted me even more so. I mean, I was listening to all of the recordings that were up for nomination by way of the Grammys, and they all caught me in different ways and spoke to me for different reasons, and I think that's what music should do. But what was so deeply moving for me listening to this project was how you took the music of the 70s and 80s, and then you went back a little bit further, but you made it current, and it spoke to what you were experiencing. I mean, I can hear the joy and the memories of your husband and your family and the importance of that. I hear the longing for him not being there in the physical, but also the beautiful reflection of him being there in spirit and in memory. And this is what I took away from this project. And I can hardly say enough things about it. And I just thought you did such a brilliant job, and you assembled such a wonderful team of musicians. Tell me about some of the people that worked with you on this project.
Well, thank you for those beautiful words, first of all. It's really humbling. The people involved on the project are the same people who have been in my band for years. So part of what you hear is family. Part of what you hear is love for one another. So Miki Hayama is my music director. And she really helped frame, and she plays piano. She wrote a lot of the arrangements. She knew Phil well. All of these things came to bear to make a project that really sings beyond the whatever intent. Because we all have ideas, right? We all think, I want to do a tribute to Cole Porter. I want to do a tribute to Duke Ellington. I want to sing the music of this one or that one. But how it sings beyond your idea is where the real love is. So I have to say that having some old friends in the studio with me made all the difference. Gerald Beasley is a very, mm-hmm. very close, beautiful friend who just was like, whatever you need, I'm there. Kirk Whalum, another very close personal friend and someone who's prayed with me and really just brought the sauce to the session and brought the love, because at the end of the day, we are lovers. we're not haters. This jazz is equal opportunity music. Whosoever will, let them come in peace and bring their own unique humanity. That's why I love this music. It calls on us, each of us, to bring our own humanity into the moment. Would that the rest of us could figure out how to do that on the daily.
Right. It was such a, you said something that also caught my attention when you talk about improvisation, and you improvise so exquisitely on this project, and it's very clever because you don't resort to the typical, you know, blah, 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 but the way that you've been the note, the way that you, and then you take the words and you phrase them, and I often refer to you when I've written about you in the past, I consider you a singing sage. You bring a great deal of music. You bring a great deal of knowing and certainty when you sing, but you still have this capacity to let the whimsy come in, to let that childlike wonder come in. And whether it's innate, something that we just learn from doing, but you just really seem to do it so well, and it's so unassuming, but the more you listen, the more all of these other elements come into play, and they work on the senses, that you really have a way of speaking to the emotions, and that's one of the things I've always taken away from your work.
Oh, thank you, Sandra. Thank you so very much. I mean, this music is really high-level spirituality for me. This is my altar. I don't fool around with it. I'm trying every day to be as honest as I can and as clear as I can. And so for this record, I was unable to pretend that I wasn't hurting. If I had to pretend and sing, you would have gotten a different record. So just giving myself permission to be where I was, a mourning woman, a woman who has lost, you know, a big, beautiful part of herself, and still sing. Broken, yes. Different, yes. Maybe scratchy on the edges, yes. And it's okay. It's okay. I take a page. Go ahead. Go ahead.
It was the musical vulnerability that I heard. And I'm so glad that sometimes, you know, when you want to talk to people about what motivated you, what inspired you, and I could hear, and this is a phrase I use quite often, music is medicine. And I could hear you using your music as medicine to heal, become whole, and to not to replace what has happened, but to let it be the seeds of growing something new. So the term time traveler, you really did go through this beautiful menagerie of songs, you know, Marvin Gaye and Jim Croce. And, I mean, we all grew up with those songs, but you have a way and you created a way of telling your story through those narratives that I just got to tip my hat to you, sister. It's beautiful. I'm so glad to have experienced it. And to take that kind of grief and make something so loving and so tender and so raw and very, very honest and very, very authentic, I think it's a wonderful project, and it deserves to definitely get a Grammy nomination, if not the prize.
Oh,
but it was, I think, a testament that you continue to deliver as an artist, as a producer,
thank
as a creative in this world that, you know, can be very, very tough for us at all times. It was really wonderful to hear you take that level of emotion and be willing to put it in front of everybody and have it judged, but it not matter, because the point was to tell it and tell it truthfully.
Thank you so much.
I can't add a word to that. With your permission, ladies, let's hear a little from that album.
Well, honey, I just wanted to leave a few thoughts. The sound of my voice will give you fond memory of our time together.
Oh,
And that was Time Traveler by the great Nina Freelon, who we are visiting with here on the Jazz Mill.
So Nina, what do we have coming up? Do you have any projects on the horizon, any performances?
We're just sort of coming out of this COVID haze where things were booked and then they were canceled and they were rebooked and they were canceled again. So just sort of rebounding from that. In the interim, I have developed a podcast called Great Grief with Nina Freelon. And that's where I've been putting a lot of my energy, talking about this thing, grief, that's so hard to talk about. And because I'm a singer who's grieving, there's a whole lot of singing going on in that podcast. So, it's a story forward, song forward podcast, because sometimes when we lack words, it's because we're not supposed to be talking. We're supposed to be singing or listening to music, because music holds more of this emotion than words alone can. So Great Grief, not Good Grief, greatgrief.com is where you can find me waxing on about how it feels to be on these shores. And I'm going to begin doing some more live music / quasi-music talky performances under the Great Grief umbrella. I do have a few gigs, splashed here and there. No touring, so to speak, because it just has been impossible to put a string of dates together that haven't fallen like dominoes in one way or another. But I'm okay with that. I am an extremely patient person, and I'm just waiting for it to feel right to be out in the world making music. And I haven't stopped writing music. I'm working on a project tentatively entitled Songs. It's original music, but Songs from the Shores of Grief. And surprisingly enough, it's not sad music. Some of this that's coming out is actually quite joyous and quite interesting to find yourself moaning, yes, but also laughing and giggling in the moments of remembered space where life was very different and joyful, and just laughing at the memory, smiling at the memory.
You know, I'm a firm believer that, and I say this to people quite often, and I'll share this thought with you, what we put on the resume of our lives is that little dash between the year we get here and the year we depart. And what do you want on the resume? And I think so much of your work, so much of what you've contributed to the world and to the world of music and the world of art is that optimism and hope and wanting to put something really good on the resume. And you've got a very impressive resume. You've done some wonderful work with your children. I'm very impressed with your commitment to making sure that art and music and literature is there for people, for the kids to come and to have something to look forward to say someone thought enough of me in my absence to make sure that this exists in my presence.
I love that. I love that. And yes, I really want to just encourage anyone who is in the orbit of children to encourage them to put down the screens for a minute, put down the tablets, and let's talk. Tell me about what it was like when you were little. Sing me one of those good old songs that you remember from your childhood. Put on a little Louis Armstrong. You know, let's actually live in the real world and not allow everything that we experience to be in a virtual way. We have enough of that. Let's have some real moments also to hang our memories on.
Absolutely. Are you going to be revisiting the Clothesline Muse by any chance?
No, Clothesline Muse at the moment is in a rewrite phase. It was a wonderful project that I co-wrote with my daughter, and a wonderful choreographer, Kariyama Welsh, who unfortunately passed away about a year ago. And with her passage, we've had to really regroup and figure out. Now she is on the line. She's on that clothesline of our past. She's hanging there with the other ancestors, and we're just trying to figure out what to do with the play. At this point, there are still stories to be told, still ancestors to be remembered, and still celebrations to be had of those women who washed clothes, who took in other people's laundry in order to make a future for us. But we're working on that. Thank you for reminding me to sit with that
piece.
A little more closely. Thank you.
I mean, you know, I'm not just a colleague, it's just I'm really a fan. it's so inspiring to see the people around you, or at least in my, you know, at least for me, I'll speak for myself. It's always so inspiring to see the level of creativity. Sometimes we get pigeonholed as, well, you're just a singer. But, no, you can be a singer, and you can be a writer, and you can be a director, and you can be a producer. And very often, you know, many of us wear all of those hats. And so they're not acknowledged. We're sort of just known for one thing. But you really have a way of synchronizing all of these talents that you have, not, you know, by way of all of the things that you've done. And so here on the Jazz Mill, this show is dedicated to all things jazz. And it's just been such a wonderful opportunity for me to welcome you back on the show. And in the interest of full disclosure, I'd come to see you with the great Earl Klugh at the Siegerstrom Theater many years ago. And a wonderful management company, and Ed Keene, who we just want to give a shout-out to. I know you've worked with him for a long time. Got his tickets to come. And I submitted the review to Brass Knuckle Progressives Radio, and somehow it never got published. So when I reached out to you and explained the situation, I don't know why it never got published, and sometimes things get cut. But I was really heartbroken because I thought it was a magnificent show, and you guys really, really had such a marvelous handle on working as a duo. And I think working as a duo with a guitar and voice, it's just the hardest thing. And he, Earl Klugh, being Earl Klugh, just was absolutely, it was like watching you be musically cradled in the arms of an angel. Mm. It was just really spectacular. So I wanted to take this opportunity to thank you for forgiving me for that mishap in the universe. And for coming to the show, it's just a joy to have you here to share your music with other people. I want to invite people to go to our website, thejazzmill.net. And you can see Nina's website and check her out, follow her, lots of incredible projects that she's going to be doing. And thank you for giving me the opportunity to sit and talk with my friends. It's really been a pleasure, Nina. I'm going to turn this interview back over to Scott Henderson. And you just keep shining, sis. You're doing great, and I love you from the bottom of my heart for being here and for being such an ally to folks list out here.
Thank you.
You're one of the... Two of the good ones right there, folks. I just love the notion, Nina, of music is medicine. You know, we're all carrying a load that often is unknown to others, unspoken. And when we can find solace in music, in spoken word, in, you know, a form of art or whatever, boy, isn't that great. Salve for the weary soul. We all need that, having been through, you know, a tough three-year patch. I bet
you
agree.
True.
So thank you for what you're doing. I want to talk a little bit about the educational work that you're doing. I know you were active with a group of folks at the Kravitz Center. I think you had occasion to work with a lot of their students. And I'd love some of your takeaways coming out of this next song. What gives you hope for, you know, the next generation of performers? So let me play Time in a Bottle for our listeners. I know they're going to enjoy this alternative take on that song that they're so familiar with.
Thank you. Go! I could save time in a bottle. The first thing that I'd like to do, save every day till eternity passes away, just to spend them with you. If I could make days last forever, if words could make wishes come true, I'd save every day like a treasure, and then again, 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 I would spend them with you. I would spend them with you.
That's wonderful. That from our new friend, Nina Freelon, Time in a Bottle. What a great rendition of that, Nina. Alternative and, boy, a fresh take on it. It occurs to me that somewhere Jim Croce is smiling wide, and he had a great big smile, didn't he? Big toothy grin.
Oh, thank you, Scott. Thank you.
Oh, my God.
Thank you.
I want to pick up on some of your educational work. I know, the Great American Songbook is important to you, preserving this wonderful genre that we all share a love for. You do work with, if I have it right, at the Kravitz Center. I'm also from Florida, Palm Beach area, in fact, and very familiar with the work that they do there. But as you got to work with and know young talent, call them, what advice do you often give young singers in their musical journey?
Wow, that's an awesome question. Thank you for asking. The business, as you know, Scott, has changed drastically in the last 10 years or so. It used to be you had to have an entree to a big corporation, music recording company, in order to get your music out there in the world. And that's not so anymore. I think it's also, there's an old saying my grandmother used to say, and that's bloom where you're planted. A lot of times people think they need to up and leave where they are and sort of go to LA or New York. But if you really feel this fire of music in your soul, start where you are, in whatever small town, in whatever small way, to begin your journey. And as soon as you begin, you have begun.
Yes.
The idea that you have to have, you know, some big company be behind you in order to reach your public is no longer the case. What is true is that you are in control to some extent of how much you know. See, we're all excited about getting an opportunity to show what we know, but how much is in that library? We have access to music, years and years and years, whole century of music that we can access through the miracle of the internet. Delve into that. Delve into Nancy Wilson, yes, but also delve into Little Jimmy Scott and Dinah Washington. Look at the lineage. Look at the legacy. Listen out for people who maybe you've never heard of before. Mark Murphy, I haven't heard of that singer before. Let me be curious enough to go see what he was about.
Yes.
And in that way, we increase our musical vocabulary. We increase our faith in a music that allows a Blossom Deary alongside a Big Mama Thornton. You know, the music is embracing enough to allow all of these different ways of being and celebrate the differences and, you know, celebrate that we can all come through the lens of the American Songbook and have something slightly different to say. Grady Tate, who we know as a drummer, Grady Tate was an incredible singer, incredible. But it's not a name that falls from our lips with ease when we start talking about male jazz singers, right? So be curious enough to look for those names that don't roll so easily off the tongue, because this will add to your repertoire. You will know that there are many, many different ways of interpreting this music that we love. So that's where, really what I tell them. You can't control when somebody's going to get open that door and let you walk through it, but you can control how much you know when that door opens. And sometimes you got to build a house, put the hinges on and the doorknob, and walk through it yourself.
Bring your screwdriver. Totally.
That's right. Bring your screwdriver.
Don't forget your tool belt.
That's
so true. I love that. I love that too. Bloom where you're planted, and I made me think of one that my uncle Skip used to say. He said, "The best time to plant a tree 20 years ago, but the next best time to plant a tree is today." And I think it relates in some way. I bet you'd agree. In curiosity. It's so easy to you know, kind of get wrapped up in the swirl of the shows that we're streaming and, you know, head down looking at a device. And I think it's good advice for all of us to put this stuff down and just listen to some records. You know, it's out there. For gosh sake, we invented it. The music is there. You mentioned a second ago, Little Jimmy Scott. I'm just getting hip to him, and what a treasure there is there. And the work that he and Joe Pesci, of all people, did together, talk about improbable, but wonderful. I mean, absolutely terrific stuff. So it's so fun exploring and poking around. You just never know what you're going to come up with. We, all of you wonderful artists stand on the shoulders of those that came before you, and you appreciate that. And I know that that just helps you appeal to a broader audience. So as you zoom out to everyone, how do we grow this genre? How do we turn more folks on to this music?
You know, I think we have to start with the young people before they decide they don't like it. You know, I've worked with a lot of young people who say, "Oh, I'm not into jazz." And then I begin to play different artists, and they find that they're exposed, that just being exposed to it, they didn't really know. Is there something for everybody in this music? The problem is these devices that we have allow us to curate a very narrow listening palette, right? They allow us to decide what we like, and I really feel like there are other people deciding for us what we like and feeding us that, and then we say, "Oh, we like it."
Oh,
you
that
have
must
to
be
stay
it.
Curious.
Yeah.
You have to stay curious. You have to look at the little green man behind the curtain, and you know, and be willing to see if your strings are being pulled. Maybe you can't believe what you think. You know.
Yeah,
maybe you
true.
Can't,
I hear
maybe
you.
You can't trust what you think is good. So some of this requires a kind of maturity, which we get from trusting our own heart, right? So, you know, I've introduced a lot of people to this music through Gregory Porter. They don't know. You know, I'll say, "Well, listen to this singer." I said, "Guess what? he is well steeped in the jazz idiom. Okay. I thought you said you didn't like jazz. Well, I don't, but I like him. Okay, fine. Okay.
I like him. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I'm just saying,
it opens up. Mm-hmm.
It's just what we haven't been exposed to that we're talking about.
Yeah, totally. And if given a chance, if given an honest listen, there's something in there for people. I think we'd be smart to understand that it is a little more complicated, a form of music, the time signatures and, you know, some of the improvisational work, which, you know, not to be sanctimonious about it, but maybe it is a little tougher to get your ears around initially. But, boy, once you do, does it ever pay off? I mean, when you understand the construct of this music, it just makes it 20 layers deep and more fun than anything I can imagine. Well, I tell you, Nina, you're everything I know we had hoped you would be. You're just a wonderful spirit, and I want you to know that you've got a friend in these airwaves. Anytime we can be of service to you. Are there projects or any information you would like to convey here and now?
Well, I actually am, you know, I said I didn't have any gigs, but that's not exactly true as I'm looking on my list here.
Well, do share.
I am actually going to be doing the Palm Springs Women in Jazz Festival. Is happening in California, November 11th
yes.
and 12th. And I am actually going to be singing there on the 12th.
Oh, wonderful.
So
wonderful
there,
to
you,
hear.
There you have it. And I'm also supposed to be in Las Vegas the day before on the 10th. So go to the website. The website knows all. I know only some things. But the website has dates and links and all of those other fancy things
that we've
grown to know and love. I'm being inducted into the North Carolina Music Hall of Fame.
Congratulations.
On October 20th.
Yay! How about you?
Yippee,
that
yippee,
is so
yippee,
awesome.
Yippee-ki-yay. Yeah, so I'm really thrilled about that. It's an incredible honor to be loved up by those in your home state. So there is that on October 20th of this year. And I'm just, you know, you can't make this stuff up. This is just such, I'm in a rich vein in my life. I'm really, I've struck gold. Do I miss my husband? Yes, of course. But I don't miss him like I thought I was going to miss him because he's present in every breath that I take.
Sure seems that way. Sure seems that way. You've gone about it right, I think, in the way that you've written to it, in the way that you've immersed yourself in it and allowed it to be therapeutic, as we know music and composition can be. I'm happy that that's been your journey, Nina, and we've are just thrilled to have gotten to know you a little bit, new friend, and I know our listeners feel exactly the same way. I propose that we do this again, maybe ahead of your November appearance, and maybe Pierce, too. We'd love to have him and get to know him as well. So thank you for doing this. I hope you'll keep swinging, and I have a hunch that you will.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate the time, and you know, let's just lean on each other because that's all we got.
Indeed. Indeed. Best to you, friend. Take real good care.
Thank you. Take care. Bye-bye.
There she goes. There she goes. Well, what a treat, huh, guys? My God, just a down-to-earth delight of a person. And, you know, I learned things. She certainly got me thinking about some things, and I'll bet you guys, too. So let's shift gears here. I'd like to just in the interest of kind of resetting before we get into segments here, I want to play one of Sandra's favorites, The Lamp is Low, and this is also by the great Nina Furlong. Greg Rockingham, our co-host and segment producer, joins me now for a couple of segments that we want to share with you. First up, Hepcat lingo. Greg, not being a player, I always feel like I'm kind of on the outside looking in when I hear, you know, real players talking. They seem to have a parlance all their own, which I seldom understand. For instance, can you help me with this? I heard a couple of Hepcats talking to one another, and they used this term. They said, slide your jib, baby. They said, just slide your jib. Any idea what that means? Greg, are you there? Greg, hello.
Oh, I'm here. I'm sorry. That
no
means
sweat at all,
to
man.
to talk freely in a conversation.
Okay. I guess
right.
I can see that. Slide your jib. Free talking. Let it. Okay, I got it. All right. They went on to use a term I hadn't heard, and they called something or someone a belly fiddle. Any idea there?
Yeah, a belly fiddle is a guitar. So simple as that.
Well, that makes sense.
A belly
that
fiddle.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Now that you say it, it makes sense. And what are Gabriels? I should probably know that one too, but I'm not smart enough to figure it out.
All right. Gabriels are the trumpet section in a big band.
Okay.
Those are the Gabriels.
Yeah, I knew I came to the right guy. I knew it. I knew you'd know. And they said something about wood shedding, which completely threw me for a loop.
Okay. Wood shedding is practicing. You take something, you get a piece
okay.
or whatever you're doing and take it and practice
yep.
until you have it perfectly, that you can play it on command.
I see.
So
it's
practicing.
Just repeating a passage over and over again. Okay, really targeted wood shedding. I've heard the expression chop your wood, you know, but wood shedding was, it's related, I guess, in a way, isn't it? Okay, good.
Yeah.
See, I'm starting to connect some dots here, which I'm tickled about. The last thing they said, and they used this kind of pejoratively, they said, going to be a clam bake. Going to be a clam bake.
All right,
that mean?
All this is funny, but clam bake is like a jam session that's not
yeah.
that's not going very well. It's not that it's a bunch of players and it's not in the groove. It's not going very well. So
they're hardly in the pocket. Yes, I bet if we were honest about it, we've all participated in a clam bake or two. And I love clams, but not that kind. Well, let me see if I can. I want to thank you for helping me with those because that's I feel a little less unhep. I want to be a hep cat someday. Maybe you can help me get there. Let me see if I can put all this together. What have I learned? In recap, let me see. So at rehearsal, I was sliding the jib when a couple of Gabriels who agreed the belly fiddle player needed some more wood shedding or this gig was going to be a real clam bake. How about that? That's not bad.
That's good. That's very good.
Thank you.
That's
thank
good.
You. I'm taking Scott, a bow.
There's
bowing
hope for you. There's hope for you. So I think you're
thank you for your...
I think you're hipper than I am.
Give me a little H. I got a little H going, so that's awesome. Well, yeah, no, take me through. You're also doing this wonderful service to the show, and we talked when we were with Nina about, you know, looking back at moments in the music, moments in jazz. Talk a little bit about what you have planned for us in that regard this week.
What we had planned this, what I have planned this week, I'm not sure I follow that
yeah,
question.
Yeah, just, is there, yes, if you would, sir, yeah. Just, is there anything that happened that you want to touch on?
Oh, yes. We're at the Green Mill Sunday, if that's what you're talking about. Every Sunday we're there, not just this week, but we're there every Sunday, and then we play throughout Chicago. Friday, we're someplace. We stay real busy, so there's a Soul Message website, soulmessageband.com, and you can find out where we are. But we're very busy now, and which is good. And we're working on another recording that's
yes.
going to be coming out. That's actually not coming out. We're getting ready to start, so we're in rehearsals for the recording, I should say. And just trying to stay busy. And we're woodshedding. But I want to also say another, I enjoyed Nina and that interview immensely. So I'm trying to shake my head out of that as I'm talking to you.
Just talk about two women who have the it factor, talent to burn in both of them, and to hear them together trading eights, so to speak, was just really terrific radio, and I hope our listeners appreciate it for what it is. It doesn't happen every day. We have some sad news to report, Greg, and I think most of the folks that would listen to this show are probably aware by now that we lost another of our greats this week with the passing of Ramsey Lewis, a Chicago guy, a great composer, player, and music educator. Greg, I think you may have known Ramsey and his bandmates, didn't you?
Yes, I did. We played at Ravinia a few times, and that's where he has his program. Actually, that's like what Nina and Sandra were saying. He had a youth program that took place at Ravinia, and that was really great. But Henry Johnson, the guitar player in Ramsey's band, we played together for years and years. And the drummer in Ramsey's band, coincidentally, lives right around the corner from me. So it's first devastating that we lost another one. But this one is different because he was older, 87, and he lived a long life. So we're sad about that, but we're still in shock about Joey DeFrancesco, something like that, a guy so young.
Yes.
So these keep coming, but Ramsey was a great guy. He was friendly, and he was important as far as music is concerned, but as far as training our youth and providing them with an opportunity like Nina and Sandra were talking about. So.
Totally.
Fantastic about him. Okay.
He seemed, Greg, like a great gentleman in a world of, egos and, attitudes. He struck me as one of the great gentlemen as I could ascertain. And I liked his music, too, as I was studying him. When I learned of his passing, I had some of his recordings. But, boy, people ought to scarf up his good works. He made a lot of good music. And he had chops beyond what I credit him with. We're going to hear a tune here in a minute that puts those on full display. But what a good player, too. My God, he was really prolific. And so appreciate you sharing that. And he'll be sorely missed. I know you'll agree. So with that, Greg Rockingham and Sandra Booker, I want to thank you guys. My deepest appreciation for you and your contributions to the show. I want to thank the great Nina Freelon for her excellent appearance. You'll want to be sure and be with us next time out as we visit with vocalist Marilyn Scott. She's just dynamite. And I want to, you've tuned in to this show, and I want to invite you to tell your friends about us if you dig it, won't you please? So let's play one for the aforementioned Ramsey Lewis. Thanks as always, folks. Take real good care.